June 12, 2009, analog television transmitters across the United States were silenced. But what has that silence revealed? Radio voice phenomena and paranormal occurrences are at an all-time high. Sevilla RVP is on the case.
You might have missed some object humping.
Join our host, Eric Dion, and his two lovely co-hosts in cat suits, Jess and Amy, as they attempt to unravel the universe.
Go monster!
In small caffeinated bursts. Sevilla RVP Radio on Monday nights at 10, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
What are you touching?
I'm not touching anything.
Rule number five.
Notice cat suits may only appear in your imagination.
Welcome to Sepia RVP, Radio Voice Phenomena, with your host Eric Dion and his two co-hosts, Jessica Dion and Amy Dreammaster. We'll talk with the foremost experts in paranormal activity and share our thoughts with you every week here on Sepia RVP. Now here's your host, Eric Dion.
Welcome to Sepia RVP Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm your host Eric Dion, and with me, once again, never fails, I'm somehow stuck with Dr. Jess and Amy the Parameet.
She forgot her gloves, her rubber gloves.
I did, so she could I'll have to go snap it and be like, I'm Dr. Jess. And you forgot to say that I'm Reverend Crocodile Dundee or whatever.
I'm not a reverend, and I'm not wearing the hat tonight.
We don't have enough money to buy one. Please donate. We're very, very broke.
So, all right, everybody. Well, a couple of quick things to throw out there before we jump right into the show tonight, because it's going to be a great show. I know the chat room's hopping out there, and everybody's eager to ask some questions. First off, Sepia RVP Radio is available if you don't get to listen to the whole show on iTunes. It actually auto-populates in the search field. Once you start typing Sepia, we pop right up. It's also on podcast at www.sepiarvp.podomatic.com. And you can also go to sepianc.com to view the shows and, view the shows and view the webcams, webcam cast of the shows. And speaking of the webcam, if you're in the Para-X chat room or on the Para-X page, you can go to the live video link at the top and you'll see us broadcasting live. So, and usually about 20 minutes after the show's done, I have those on demand up there so you can choose and pick the shows you want to see. So,
We got a new webcam, too.
Yeah, so, and we have a new webcam. We're broadcasting in HD.
And we actually look kind of like ourselves now.
Yeah, not all yellow. And jaundice and stuff. I didn't realize how bad it was. So
until I saw things clearly.
Right.
But before we go into this, I do want to say thank you to Rusty and his Mysterious and Unexplained show that airs earlier in the night. For giving us a shout out and introducing who our guest was going to be on tonight. And as always,
thank you, Rusty.
I'm going to tip my martini glass to Reverend Tim out there with the Black Cat Lounge.
Tonight.
Because Reverend Tim rocks.
I'll tip my monster can.
Yeah, we're tipping our monster cans tonight to Reverend Tim with the Black Cat Lounge. You know, he always gets you guys all loaded up and drunk during the show. And I think that's the only reason why you guys stick around for our show, actually. Because you got to sober up. You know, no drinking and driving. Drive responsibly out there.
Yes,
so you might as well listen while you're sober enough.
Right.
But
because we'll sober you up.
We'll make your head hurt, too.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there will be no shocking footage tonight.
No.
I'm not getting shocked. But
oh, I'm still laughing about it. But you can go onto YouTube.
I still have it over there.
It's on YouTube now. It's on my personal MySpace page. You guys can go check it out. I even think it's somewhere here on the on demand page.
It might be on the demand page. Yeah, I'm not sure. So,
I'm still laughing about it. I cannot. I've been watching. I've watched it like 100 times now. Anytime I'm in a bad mood, I just watch Eric's pain and laugh.
But like I said, we have a a phenomenal guest tonight.
We do.
We are so honored to have this guest on. I can't even begin to explain in words how honored we are. His name is Keith Johnson. He's one of the leaders in the demonologist field of the paranormal world. You guys may have known him from when he was formerly with TAPS and on Ghost Hunters. He's contributed so much to the field. So without further ado, we'd like to go ahead and bring Keith on. And Keith, if you'd like, go ahead and say hey.
Is he there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
I thought I lost you.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. I hope I'm coming through all right.
Oh, you loud and clear.
It's perfect.
Good. That's what I like to hear. Loud and clear. Very good.
Hey.
Very good.
So
what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Oh, I've been up to about 5'8", 5'9", I guess.
Oh, awesome. All right. You got a sense of humor in the house. Woohoo!
I've been keeping busy doing. We're going to start up the ghost tours at Slater Mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. That's coming up in a week or so. We'll be doing. I did my first book signing the other day.
Wow!
My wife Sandra and I were there at the bookstore and at the Providence Place Mall, and I did my first book signing, and that went very well. I also was asked to give an impromptu lecture at the beginning of the signing, so that went very well. It was a very, very good audience response. And then doing the usual cases and things like that, consulting with cases and people emailing and asking for help, so dealing with that. So, and doing our TV show, Ghost Are Near. So we've been keeping pretty busy.
Yeah, it sounds like you have.
Yes.
Well, we wanted to tell the listeners that we do have two copies this evening of Keith's book that we're going to be giving away. We still haven't figured out quite how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're so
we're
like
make work for it, though.
We're so yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're going to make the chat room work for it because we're starting to we noticed we're starting to give away more and more stuff now, and you know, I see bunny ears on there. I can see the shadow. Wow. But the book's called Paranormal Realities, and we do have two copies to give away tonight. So I guess, first off, do you want to go ahead and explain what your book, Paranormal Realities, is to all the listeners out there?
Well, basically, Paranormal Realities is a story I wrote, which is a compilation mostly of short stories of adventures in the paranormal I've been on, and it's as the name connotates, it's reality. It's all true, things that have actually happened to that I've experienced, and people or close acquaintances of mine have experienced. And it starts from when I was very, very young, from my very early childhood, and basically goes right up until the present, different things I've experienced and different organizations I belong to, how I first became involved in paranormal research, and where it's taken me up until the present.
Right on.
Fantastic. Let's see.
He's like, this... let me study the back of the book.
No, I was looking because I was kind of going through it and stuff. What would you say your favorite part out of the book is?
My favorite part is, I think it's my first major adventure in the paranormal. My first big case, my first in-home case when I was still a teenager, and it was actually a full demonic infestation. The family was going under demonic oppression, so you never forget your first case, especially when it's one like that. So I think that's one of my favorite chapters right there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that actually answers one of the questions I wanted to ask you, like what profound things set you forth to study in demonology, actually.
Right. Well, I began studying demonology when I was still a teenager. My brother Carl and I both became intensely interested in demonology. I was personally interested in both angelology and demonology, in human spirits, and how they related to the Bible, because I was brought up in a Christian household, so I was very interested in that. And that's where it started, but of course I had to learn a lot along the way, and still learning. We never stop learning, especially in a field such as this. So that's basically how it began, and the my first case turned out to be demonic infestation. So, yeah, of course, this was in the early 70s, so there was no internet, and help wasn't readily available to people who were going through this kind of demonic siege. So I had put an little ad in a local paper advertising the group I was with that we do investigations of unexplained phenomena free of charge. So when the family saw this, it was like a godsend to them because they had nowhere to turn. They had no idea who to contact. It's not like they could look somebody up online on the internet back then. So
right.
That's how we became involved in it. Yes.
Well, how much have you seen things change from then until now in the whole field?
Some things have changed, especially as far as the communication goes and the information that's available. It's phenomenal the way it's changed, that you can just click onto a website or several websites or 100 websites and find all different references and opinions and people to guide you and help you. There was almost nothing like that back when I first started out, and that's why we were kind of pariahs in the field. We didn't really know where to turn to and how to get the word out that we are here helping people or offering our assistance. So that's why I put that little ad in the paper and hit the jackpot right away. Of course, these kind of cases to that intensity are few and far between. So it was quite a while before we did stumble upon another case of that magnitude. But that's how it started.
Okay.
Wow.
Fantastic. Well, we already have a question from the chat room. This comes from Kat. She wants to know, she says, what do you think that the increased number of Catholic exorcisms means for the overall paranormal world?
The number of Catholic exorcisms, well, that does seem to be on the rise. It seems to be increasing.
It does.
And, of course, a lot of it's hidden and, confidential, but it is getting more and more revealed, and it does seem to be on the rise. I think that kind of makes a statement on society and society's beliefs in general, that they that people do believe there is a force out there that is outside of ourselves, is a spiritual force, a very powerful negative spiritual force, and people want help. They are seeking help now, and they do want the intervention of the church, and I think that's why it's becoming more and more reported and it is on the rise.
Yeah, it seems like everybody seems to be on what I call the demon train nowadays. And
oh yeah.
It's just like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, it is on the rise, that's for sure. It's being reported more and more.
Now, do you have any thoughts on why a lot of people think, like, if something happens, it's their first instincts is, oh, it's a demon. It must be a demon.
Right.
Well, obviously, it's not always demonic in cause. And I think that's a thing people are jumping a lot to the conclusion that the devil made me do it and the devil's responsible. And I think that gives these forces a little too much credit. Not that the situation shouldn't be respected, and not that these things aren't out there, but before jumping to that conclusion, there's a lot of things, obviously, that have to be ruled out, a lot of things that, there's mundane causes in the house that could be causing these things. Obviously, a mold problem can, if it's black mold especially, can cause hallucinations. If someone is sleeping too close to an electrical appliance, that can cause feelings of paranoia or that you're being watched, that different things like that. So a lot of things have to be ruled out. Doesn't mean that paranormal activity is not going on. It's just that all things must be taken into consideration, too.
Exactly.
Before it comes out with the diagnosis that it's the devil is at work here.
Okay. Oh, well, in your opinion, what are the main signs of a demonic activity, when demonic activity is going on, that would be above and beyond regular paranormal activity?
Right, right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. When it's above and beyond what's considered regular paranormal activity, it's when it becomes very systematic. It becomes very, like there's something going on that's a strategy. There's a strategy behind it. You can tell there's an intelligence behind it. It's doing things very deliberately, and it can also be numerical. Can be very anti-religious, fiercely anti-religious, but also very numerical. Person, and its goal seems to be to break apart that person's psychological defenses and emotional defenses. That's what the strategy of the demonic is. When things come very systematically, and sometimes you can only tell this in retrospect, but things are coming very systematically, numerically, and it's intended to really break down that person's resistance and that person's will.
Wow. That's interesting. It is interesting.
I guess this is one of the main reasons why we were so excited to have you on. About a month ago, we were having some things going on here at the house.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and we didn't know if it could have been something like that. We may have thought, we've come to the conclusion that it might have been possibly a ghost or a spirit acting as if it's inhuman.
Right.
Which I know that they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we were getting attacked was more on a mental level.
Yeah, of sudden feelings of absolute despair, where we all of a sudden get very angry towards each other. Suicidal. I mean, you'd be fine with it. Next minute, you wanted to kill yourself.
You know, and we
thought you were absolutely worthless. And then it would just subside because it came on. And
right.
And we didn't have like too much like activity, like as far as, you know, we all are investigators, so we know like the signs of what we needed to look out for and stuff. So we didn't have things flying around the house or anything like that. We were seeing shadows and, you know, little things like that. And I don't know. We still to this day don't know what the heck happened, but none of us, as being investigators, have ever experienced anything like that. And it was just crazy. That was one of the main reasons why we wanted to ask that question.
Right, right. It's
a radio show.
Yeah. Demonic infestation can be, there's a lot of ferocity involved, and it's very, very, very intense, as you obviously know from experience. It can be very physically and emotionally draining as well to work on a case like this.
Right. I think it was more emotional than anything.
Yeah, that was the hardest part.
It wasn't so much physical. I think if we wouldn't have intervened and done something about it, it would have gotten to that point. Oh, we've got a caller on the line.
Yep. Caller, state your name and your question for Keith.
Yes, my name is Dennis Hopper, and I'm asking Mr. Johnson about a comment I heard on Ghost Hunters from him and his brother. They were saying in one episode that when a person starts challenging demons or becomes a demonologist, they are forever marked, and that seems to follow them throughout their lives, and I wanted him to comment on that.
Yes, yes, very good question, very good question. Yes, that is true. Once you get into this field, once you cross the line, so to speak, it does seem that you are marked, because these things will know you, and you'll be recognized from then on. There'll be very bizarre things happen. Certain people you've never met will seem to recognize you. You'll get little warnings here and there. But once you get into this field, it never really leaves you. You're always being watched. And it's always trying to get one step ahead of you. So that's the thing. You know that your life will never be exactly the same. Now, with me personally, it just seemed I was led into this field, as a lot of people who are into this field seem to be led into this field. So in a way, you're already a marked person, so to speak. But I don't mean it to sound as that morbid. But, yes, there are some very serious precautions you have to take, because once you do get into this, you are known by an unseen world, and you are followed.
By the way, Mr. Johnson, this isn't really actor Dennis Hopper. This is your brother.
We're sitting there thinking, Dennis Hopper, whatever.
It's brother.
Oh, is it? That's awesome.
Never actually.
I kind of wondered when I heard the name Dennis Hopper.
I thought it would be too much if I said this is actor Dennis Hopper. So I just, this is Dennis Hopper. I have a question for Mr. Johnson.
I looked at Jess and I'm like, Dennis Hopper's an actor. What is he doing calling in on our show?
So my question is to make a legitimate point, but I'm not Dennis Hopper, obviously.
Right. I really like you, an Easy Rider, for that 40 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to make an Easy Rider reference, too, but that goes way back.
Nice.
40th anniversary, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, but to bring me back
that's
to my
very,
question,
very good question.
Yeah, that, you know, the people who do challenge demons and, you know, stick with it and do it in, with faith and resolve tend to be marked that will follow them. You know, it's like there's a resentment that they have been bold enough to challenge the demonic realm, and that does stay with people.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Warren always
indeed.
Said that, and, you know, in your experience and mine, that seems to hold true.
Yes, yeah, you've had experience in that as well.
I have indeed, yes.
Well, we've actually got one of our team members that, on our team, who's in the training of, you know, demonology, and he's had some trouble. He's had a run-in with one, and he seems to have had, you know, he was actually in the chat room right now agreeing that, you know, he feels the same, that he's been marked, and it doesn't matter where he goes, he's constantly being followed by this.
Yes, yes, and one way you can tell that is when you go to a, you've been on one case, and it could be months or years later, but it's, you're on a totally different case on a different location, it seems that you're meeting up with the same entity or entities. That's one way of sure telling that something is watching you and following you.
But Keith, if
you always know that you have to watch your back. Yeah.
How would you, that may discourage some people who might want to enter the field of demonology or paranormal investigation. Should that not deter somebody? Why should somebody continue in their quest to study demonology if there's a hazard involved? What would you respond to that? Because obviously it did not deter you or me.
Good question, caller.
Yes. Very good question,
it
caller.
Is.
Very good.
Dennis Hopper wants to know. Expound upon that.
Yep. The
I thought it was a pretty good Dennis Hopper impression, but not too many people picked up on that. Dennis Hopper, you know. I mean, how would you respond to that question? I was even on an episode of Twilight Zone a long time ago.
Yeah, he was. I remember that. That was the one with Adolf Hitler, right?
Yep, where he was a neo-Nazi and all that, and they had the spirit of Adolf Hitler replicated himself and was advising him. But you haven't answered my question.
I remember that.
Yeah, you haven't answered his question. He's going
to want it.
Well, the answer to that question
let's just say inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. Should that deter somebody from entering the field of paranormal investigation?
Well, paranormal investigation, especially demonology.
Demonology, yeah. It should advise somebody that they should be very, very cautious and respect what they're dealing with. And one should only, like, pursue it to that level if they feel called to do it, if there's no question that about their motivation. Not just out of curiosity, but to help people to really seriously go in there and you're doing it to help people for an altruistic purpose. And you really feel that you are meant do this. That's, you know, if you have that kind of motivation. If it's just out of curiosity or I want to see the reaction I get, then I would say, no, they should not be pursuing this at all, especially not the field of demonology at all. So it depends on someone's motivation.
That is a good point.
Well, thank you very much. I don't want to tie up the line.
Well,
I have another casting call now.
That was an excellent point. An excellent question.
It was. Thank you for calling in. And
right, and Did you have a chance to see True Romance? I really shine in that, I think.
You do, that is actually...
I mean, it's not an in-depth part, but I kind of got to play myself in it.
Fantastic.
You're silly.
Okay, next time I'll be more identifiable. I'll call as Jack Nicholson.
Next time. Okay.
All right. You take care, Carl.
Okay, right. Take care, Keith. Thank you, folks. Thanks, everybody, very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, and we're rolling right into this. We actually have Carlo, who's Sepia's demonologist in training, and I'm sure he has some questions for you. Are you there, Carlo?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Well, you're on the line with me, Jess, Amy, and
Keith
Johnson.
So ask away.
How's it going, Keith?
Hi there. How you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm not doing too bad, I guess you could say. I just had a couple questions, and after I shared my questions, maybe I could share my one of my experiences with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love to. So go ahead.
Okay. My first question is: do you find more demonic activity in areas where occult practices have been performed?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. That does seem to draw demonic entities in, where there's a cult practice, be it private homes or cemeteries. If there's been a cult practice there, that does seem to draw them in, and it almost seems to be like a breeding ground for them, yes. Much more common.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. My next question then would be, is there any way, or if you could give me the names of any churches that do work with demonologists, because they're notoriously hard to find.
Names of churches that work with demonologists?
Yeah, like a specific church, or, you know.
Or maybe like...
Generally, yeah.
Go ahead.
Generally speaking, of course, the Catholic Church works with demonologists, but they're usually appointed by the church. So when the Catholic Church works with the demonologist, the church will usually appoint that demonologist, accept them. As far as specific churches go, it's just random. You have to take the church, you know, on an individual basis, whether they work with demonologists or not. Some will, some won't, but... there's not that many specific churches that will do that.
Okay. And do you have any reliable sources of information on demonology?
His book?
Yes, his book.
Well, I've just written Paranormal Realities.
Right.
but also yeah, on our website, nearparanormal.com, if you go on that, we have a recommended readings page where we do have books listed there that specifically deal with demonology that Sandra and I both highly recommend. So we do have a list there.
I love you. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, how could people, what advice could you give people looking into studying demonologies, like books, classes, you know, stuff like that?
What's the best way to go about it?
The best way is to do do an internet search and see what's out there in your area. We, Sandra and I, do teach classes in not just paranormal investigation, but specifically in demonology. We teach even Demonology 102, 101, 102, and 103. So, you know, they get more in-depth and detail, more intense each class. And you can always look at our website and see where we're going to be appearing and lecturing. And I know other people do as well. So I do have colleagues in the field that do give seminars and classes. And if you do a search on demonology classes, you will find them. You know, and I know that my friends and associates, such as Andrew Calder, Adam Bly, John Zaffis, they teach classes in demonology as well. So look up demonology, look for those names, and myself and Sandra, Keith and Sandra Johnson, and quite often you will find somebody, if not in your specific area, then perhaps close by, that you will be able to find seminars and classes, lectures on demonology, because they are out there.
Right. Yeah. Well, what sucks is we're in North Carolina, obviously, mm-hmm. and we're in the Bible Belt, so it's, you know, it's kind of hard to come across something.
Yes, I've been told that. I know, I've been told that in the Bible Belt area. That's very hard, too.
It's very fun down here.
We're all just dead experts.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break real quick. I'm going to clear the phone lines, except for you, Keith, and we're going to give away the first copy of the book.
And then
now, the seventh caller to call in will win a copy of this book, Paranormal Realities by Keith Johnson. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to clear the phone with you, Carlos, and our other caller, and then our other caller, you feel free to call back. And seventh caller, go ahead and call in now. And we'll go to a break and come after the break and announce the winner and bring them on the air and go with it from there.
Goth girls, did the girls to go to see the nerdcore rapper with the geeked out flow with the show. You can see the black place on parade. I met 100 dozen of them. Hello, I was wondering, how goth is my frock? I got this thing for horror movies and mope rock. But I can't shock my hair up, I ran out of stock. And just like that, a front a lot ran out of talk. It was tragic, unheard of, never seen me out of rhymes. When they usually come into fatigue, bleed. But me here, talk good? No, bad talk do. Like my tongue got encrypted right before I lost root. Like my small talk got box rocked on a prior boot. It's moot, she only dates guys and chokes and dies, not brutes. Lacking eyeliner like I lack. But look, I'll put a little on plus lip shellac just to stand next to that and dream about love. Of necessity, that has always had to be enough. Cause I can't talk to goth girls, I just stare and stammer. My name is MC Frammer. Damn her if she giggle, damn her double if she laugh. Goth girls like it when you double damn it twice fast. Goth girls are the girls that go to see the nerdcore rapper with the geeked out flow at the show. You can see the black place on parade. I met 100 dozen of them, but I ain't got laid. The Rocky Horror premiere. She steered clear of the nerd crowd, but I heard loud in my ear the disdain that she held for my type. Always geeking on the computron. I get hype on the stage. She might notice me then and observe that I'm ironically hip in some flip universe. In her purse, in patent leather, held in fishnet glove. Could think contain MP3 player with the front field dub. Her name is Nightshade. Yo, don't call her Cherry Tomato. She looked like Paisley Tinkle, but poisonous like tomato. She says her hair got attacked, cause it's black and it's blue. She got the Johnny the Homicide maniac tattoo, legs deep in the boots, boots all up on the heels. Yes, the kind to make a certain type of fetish squeal. The ordeal I endure this close to her splendor, besieged by my shyness. Tried this, I surrender and render my intentions in the usual way. Home alone, suicide girls up on the cathode ray. Goth girls are the girls that go to see the nerdcore rapper with the geeked out flow at the show. You can see the black lace on parade. I met 100 dozen of them, but I ain't got laid. And tell me that I shouldn't be coveting. I tell her, yo, you better get in a covenant. It's like, eek, I get to sleep on the couch for a week, all watching old Elvira videos on TV. Yeah, laugh it up, you don't live like I do, at the mercy of any sister with wrist scars and black eye glue. I've tried to get into cheerleaders and failed. Banana, repugnant, and tan, so bland and so stale. Fill myself with a local cafe, like a clover. Thumb through Camus in French, which I can't read, but so what? I think the goth could flower in nerdcore's embrace. I mean, I converted that Gregory's lettering into a typeface. Befriended vampires on El Jake in MySpace. Even put that spooky echo filter on the bass. But I can't talk to goth girls, I just stare and stammer. My name is MC Frammer. Damn her if she giggle, damn her double if she laugh. Goth girls like it when you double damn it twice fast. Goth girls are the girls that go to see the nerdcore rapper with the geeked out flow at the show. You can see the black lace on parade. I met 100 dozen of them, but I ain't got
Hi, this is Marla Brooks. And when I'm not stirring the cauldron, I'm listening to Chat People Radio with Mary and Lori, Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern, here on Para X.
Welcome back to Sepia RVP Radio.
Hello, everybody. All right. Well, it's been a while since we've opened up the phone lines for a giveaway, and I forgot how hectic Skype can be, and whew. but we do have a winner. let's see. The winner is Jen, and Jen, would you like to say hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Jen.
Yeah. Well, you're talking...
Congratulations.
Yeah, you got Paranormal Realities by Keith Johnson, a fantastic book.
Even though we just got it like 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Hey, we got it, though.
But we're going to be reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys can read it first and then give it to me. That's fine.
You get your own copy. You get...
Oh, okay.
Your pant leg keeps scaring the crap out of me. I think it's a water bug, and it's his pant leg that's like scurrying across my foot. Sorry.
ADD.
So, but while you're on the line, do you have any questions for Keith?
Don't you love
not that I can really think of right now.
Eric is so good for that.
Right.
There. I love it.
If you have any questions, just read the book there.
There you go. Question
they're talking about wanting to see me get fried in high definition. Say, we got a new webcam and it's high definition camera. Last week, of course, if those of you didn't hear, I got zapped by 1500 volts of an electronic fly swatter, and it made for a great show.
Well, when they come here in September, they'll just
Yeah.
They're going to bring the taser, so they'll just taser you and high def.
That was actually an online view of you getting zapped, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. And it was on mistake. Like, I was the one that was supposed to get zapped, and it wouldn't go off. And Eric kept tapping it and tapping it and tapping it, and
it
zapped on him without him knowing.
And then he threw it across
the room. Threw across the room and screamed, "Oh, God!"
Then I have to apologize for it. This is internet radio.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Jen, and winning.
And we'll get that over to you. And if you have any questions,
have
feel
to
free
mail
to
mail it because you're local.
You're local in the area.
Save
so
postage.
Save postage.
So
another reason to come hang out. Yay!
Exactly. That's another reason. Now you have to come over.
So fantastic. Well. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call or send us a private chat in the chat room, and we'll make sure to get those over to Keith Johnson.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Not a problem. And I believe we have Carlo back on the line with us again, right?
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
And so we can pick up where you want to go.
I think you wanted to share Keith what had happened to you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. His experience. Yes.
Yes. Great.
Okay. Well, it started in I was in Iraq on my third tour in Iraq. I couldn't sleep one night, so I was up late and I was, you know, studying on the demonology and everything. And about around 3 o'clock in the morning, I began to smell something burning, which didn't really shock me that much because of the building that we were living in. None of the wiring had been done by a professional electrician. But still, at the same time, I figured if there's a fire, I better get up and warn somebody or put it out. So I go to open the door, and there, as soon as I open it, there standing in front of me is this 6-foot black figure. And I couldn't quite make it out at first, but I saw its head. Its head looked like the goat's head in a Baphomet.
Yes, right.
And its body was, its skin was totally like jet black. He's real muscular, cloven feet, claws for hands, and it basically told me, you know, like you said earlier, you know, you're marked, and this isn't ever going to stop for you. And it reached down and actually scratched my hand. I still have the scar from it. And then belched this, and this smell came out. It was like, the best way I could describe it is like sulfur and corpses mixed together.
Oh,
horrible.
Yeah.
And then it disappeared.
All right. That sounds like an experience that you'll never forget, obviously.
Yeah.
And this was because you were getting into demonology?
Yes. I've been getting into it more and more since probably about 06, 2006. Right. I was actually in Iraq when I got started in this whole thing also on my second tour.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very, very intense experience that you went through. And I give you credit for not backing out and staying with it. And that obviously was a very, very traumatic warning. But, of course, you know that you also have the positive on your side. You also have angelic. You have angelic protection. You know, these things come in a very horrific form sometimes, and they let you know, well, we're going to be watching you. You're a marked man. But you also have angelic protection. You have very, very powerful, positive spirits that are of God that are following you and protecting you as well. So it's not just the demonic that's watching you. You have angelic following you as well, and that's the thing to keep in mind. This is what it's trying to do. Obviously, it was trying to distract you from that, get your mind off that, you know, just make, oh, this horrible thing's following me now. I'm a marked man. And it actually went so far as to scratch your hand. You say you still have the scar?
Yeah.
Oh, and was it your right hand or your left hand?
It was on my left hand.
Yeah. Usually they will do that. They will do something. They'll come from the left side. And that's just part of their numerical and modus operandi. But it's very unusual that for something to come out right in an attack like that. But I would say that they feel very, very threatened by you. They feel very, very threatened. And you know you have the Lord on your side, and you know you have angelic protection. And so in your situation, I would like to quote the Psalms. I would like to quote the psalmist, David, saying, "Do not touch my prophets, nor do my anointed ones harm," because you counteract them with Scripture, and they will back off. They will usually back off. So, you know, I give you credit for really, really staying with it. That's after having such a traumatic encounter.
Yeah, I'd have to say, if anything, it strengthened my resolve to get into it more.
That's wonderful.
I see it that, you know, if they're going to come after me like this, they're going to come after people that are close to me like this. So I'm going to need to step up and do what I can to keep, to the best of my ability, keep that from happening. And something I found interesting about, after that, as I began to get into it more and more, and when I joined Sepia, was other incidences started to seem to tie into that first one that I did. I know when I first talked to Eric and Jess and Amy that first day, they told me that they felt like there was something evil or diabolical that came by them, and shortly after that, then all this stuff started happening with their house and talking with somebody else. They brought up the name Azazel, which is a name that I had gotten for the demon a while ago, like long before this. And that name just continues to pop up for me. I've gotten it 3 or 4 times since the thing at Eric's house.
Yeah. So that you feel that's the entity that may be following you.
I don't know if he heard you. Did you hear him, Carlo?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that may be the entity that's following you. But
yeah.
certainly
certainly keep you in our prayers about that. And, of course, you know, you're part of the body. You're into the work like the rest of us. And so we're certainly, then there's always strength in numbers, always strength in numbers. So we're certainly keeping you in our prayers. And if you ever need prayer or just reassurance, just don't hesitate to contact me at all, you know, because we have to work together, obviously. And
yes, we do.
Yes, and you know, I have people call me all the time, just, you know, for reassurance and prayer, and I, you know, trust I can do the same. You know, get in touch, and so please don't hesitate to get in touch if you ever just, you know, need to share. Okay.
I will.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thanks,
great.
Thanks for calling, Carlo, and we'll get a hold of you later. All right.
All right. All right.
I'll talk to you guys later.
I do have a couple of questions in the chat room that have been building up.
Are you going to ask them about Sparrow?
Yeah, the first one that came through is from Sparrow. Actually, before I get into that, let me say something real quick, because if not, I'll forget about it. I feel really bad that Allison from Adeline, Australia,
yes,
wanted me to make sure I told you hello for her.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yes.
That is so nice. Yes. Yes. She's a very dear friend, and she runs Paranormal Field Investigators in Adelaide, South Australia. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad she said hello. That's very nice. And
yes.
She actually gives paranormal ghost tours there as well at the old Adelaide Jail, which is a very historic site. There's been a number of, I don't know, 40 plus hangings, close to 50 hangings took place there. Very, very haunted site. So, she not only conducts ghost tours there, her and her group do an ongoing extensive investigation research there. That's kind of their home base. So she's actually been a guest on it. She came all the way from Australia and has been a guest on our show, Ghosts Are Near, on our TV show. So, you know, so I'm very glad to hear that she says hello. That's very good. Thanks for telling me that.
All right. And the first question we'll hit, I have like three questions from out of the chat that have been waiting. One's from Sparrow.
Sparrow. I know Sparrow, yes.
Yeah, he said he just found out that their client served in NAM, and is there any chance that military PTSD factors into the feeling of demonic oppression?
That the military could be?
Like the PTSD.
The post-traumatic stress disorder. Could that have any factors into the feeling of a demonic oppression?
It could, yes, yes, it very much could. It very much could, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because that that goes so, so deep, and there's so much repression, emotional and psychological repression there. It can be very similar to demonic oppression, and, you know, God bless anybody who has gone through that. And it can seem very similar. It also can be reality. There can be, because sometimes demonic spirits will take advantage of people's psychological trauma. So there can be actual demonic oppression involved as well. So a person who's going through that really needs to receive counseling, and hopefully religious counseling as well. So, yeah, that's something to really be taken seriously.
All right. Next question comes from Ceiling Cat. She says, do you think that entities can travel via the phone or internet?
Yes. Yes, they can. I've had people report that, and I've to a certain extent, I've experienced it myself. When, machinery, internet tools can be influenced sometimes. It's very rare, but sometimes they can be influenced by spirits. They can be influenced by demonic entities. It is rare, but it has been known to happen. Yes, that is a possibility.
All right. And I actually have a caller on the line. caller, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and you're on the line with Keith Johnson and Seppi RVP.
Hey, Keith, it's Chris Edmond. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing great. I figured I owed you one since you called in on my show last time. So, just wanted to let you know I got the copy of the book, and it's absolutely wonderful. Not that I would think different.
Oh, but, fantastic. Fantastic.
Great,
good to hear.
Great reading.
So I'm so glad. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem, no. It's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing you and the wife again coming soon in Cincinnati. I think something's coming up I know we're going to be at and getting to talk more in depth about the book. But I just wanted to reiterate the whole once you're marked thing. I had been told that after the case that we worked in October of last year in Quincy, Illinois, and I just had an experience a month ago at the Villisca House where it came through and made itself known, and I actually attacked. It left a huge mark on my back. Six other witnesses were there. So, you know, I of course, that's where I'm talking about the dangers of ghost hunting, and it's real. And it's just good to have people out there like you to be able to turn to and validate what we're going through.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. There's, it's very important to have people out there that you can turn to and that will validate. And you know from personal experience how real this is. And, people who doubt the existence, who say this couldn't happen, they've never experienced it themselves. Because, as you know personally, once you've experienced it, there's no doubt, and there's usually no turning back as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, God bless you for all you do.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you. I'm going to let you go. You take care, and you have a good night. Thanks, you guys, for doing the show tonight.
No,
not a problem.
Thank
anytime.
You for calling in.
Nope.
Okay, bless you very much.
All right.
Well, woo. We have two more, at least two more chat room questions. this question comes from Kat.
Again,
yeah.
The notorious
she
question asker.
She loves questions, but she asks really good questions.
No.
Yeah, she says, what is the single most important aspect of professional investigation?
Science. Of paranormal investigation?
Yes.
To be honest. To be safe and honest. To be honest, totally honest, and be very, very caring. That I would think to be honest with yourself and be honest with the clients you're working with. That's the most. And a member of our team actually gave that was his opinion, Andrew Graham, and I respect that opinion very much. So I think honesty is the best.
He said, "Get close with that."
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. And then we have one from Selena with Sepia. She said, "I would like to know if he has witnessed any extraordinary powers from a possessed person, like lifting up and throwing things normal people couldn't."
Yes, I have. I've seen a possessed person have exaggerated motor control, where a 14-year-old boy at one time had the ability to spin like a top, actually go from room to room, spin like a top.
What?
Had very abnormal, it could actually spin from room to room like a top. He went around in like fast motion, just spinning, and had very abnormal physical strength. Also, could manipulate physical objects without touching them. I don't think it was actually him doing it. I think it was the possessing entity doing it. But just as he was going under possession, one time we're involved in an exorcism rite. My brother was in the room assisting. He was seated in a rather large family parlor chair. Suddenly the chair started moving backwards with him in it.
Whoa!
And there was a rumbling on the floor. You could actually feel a vibration, almost like an earthquake, but it was traveling. It's traveling in a certain direction, and when it reached where my brother was sitting, the chair actually started moving backwards with him sitting in it. So I have seen, that this extraordinary phenomena can, in fact, take place during episodes of possession.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and
we're going to go ahead and do
another book giveaway. We won't cut to break. Keith will pick a number 1 through 10 of the caller that you'd like to call in to give away.
Again?
Yeah,
we might as well do callers.
We haven't done callers in forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what number caller would you like to give this book away to?
Oh, number 8, I guess.
Number 8. All right,
yes.
Everybody, you hear it. The 8th caller will win this book.
910-338-1062.
That's 910-338-1062. Eighth caller gets the book. Cool. Getting ready to...
I know. Come on now.
Oh, I forget that there's a little bit... There's yeah. that little delay there, so right. I was like... And then next thing you know, it's just boom.
So we don't blow up.
But, let's see.
Wow.
And then we have... And also, send your questions to us, private chat.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
Chat room, we can't keep up.
It's hard. Yeah.
ADD.
Well, it's not ADD, but the chat room's, like, bumping right now.
Yeah, the chat room's hopping tonight.
Okay, while we're waiting on the callers, I wanted to personally ask, what is one of the scariest cases that you've ever worked on?
One of the scariest cases was the first major one I worked on with where a family in northern Rhode Island was actually, and it's actually in the book too, it was a demonic infestation, and the things that had happened in this household were incredible. Just the history of the house itself. Of course, the family wasn't familiar with the history when they first moved in, but there'd been at least two suicides, possibly three homicides had gone on in the past couple of hundred years in this 18th century farmhouse. Just incredible. And when you walked in there, you just felt so oppressed yourself. You just felt like falling apart.
Oh,
when you went in there, the atmosphere was so heavy.
Caller two.
And, yeah, it was very, 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 very oppressive. And
three?
Some frightening phenomena, too, going on there. So I'd say that was the scariest.
Sounds like it. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Caller four?
Yeah.
Okay, no, we didn't want that. Caller five? Caller five? Oh my goodness. Caller six, caller seven. We're getting to caller six.
Caller six.
Whoa.
I think Jason's got a demon in
him. Caller seven.
And we've
caller
got
eight.
What's up, lady?
No way!
We have a winner, right? We have a winner.
Yay!
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have won. We'll have copy. I'm showing it to the webcam of his wonderful book. So we will. Do we have your address?
Yes.
Yep, we have it on file.
I just sent her the movie. It's yes. All this way. It is on its way, I promise.
Yeah, I told her that earlier.
Yes.
And you're all the way up there in Massachusetts, right?
That's right.
Fantastic.
Oh, kind of my neck of the woods.
I was going to win or I was going to bite.
So let's put you on the spot. Do you have any questions for Keith while you're on?
Sure. When's he coming up this way again?
What do you mean? He's already up that way.
Right.
No, here.
Well, I'm coming into Massachusetts. I hope soon. I'm not sure exactly when, but I do hope to get there soon. And if we make any appearances there, they'll certainly be listed on our calendar of events, our appearance schedule on nearparanormal.com. But I love to go there. Sometimes Sandra and I assist with the Boston classes that New England Paranormal put on. Dave Manch, who is the case manager for New England Paranormal. He's a wonderful friend of mine. He's a great guy, too. And he has a book of his own, which is I highly recommend for people who want to tease apart what may be paranormal, maybe not. His name of his book is There Are Ghosts in Our World, But Are They Real? And we'll be up there sooner or later, I guarantee. We'll be up there sometime. Probably within the next couple of months or so.
Cool. Right on.
Fantastic.
All right.
Congratulations, baby.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
We'll get that out actually tomorrow for you, okay?
All right. I look forward to it. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right. Woo!
Cool deal.
We're just getting hopping and bombarded with questions and...
Did we have another question from the chat room?
Yep, this one comes from Ceiling Cat. She wants to know if you think the number of demonic possession cases has risen or fallen in the last decade.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I think it has. It seems to have risen. I think also it's being reported more. I think there's a lot more that we know that's going on. These cases are being reported much more frequently. It does seem to be on the rise, but I wouldn't say dramatically on the rise, but it's always been a reality that there's possession. Possession itself is relatively rare, but much more common is oppression stage. But, yeah, that seems to be going on a lot, and, you know, more and more people do need help. They seem to be needing help, and I'm glad people are, instead of keeping it to themselves, they're out there asking for help. Much more than they ever used to. Because help is out there. It's available.
Yeah.
Now, that actually leads me to a question that I wanted to ask.
You want to take the caller first?
Oh, there's...
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a caller. Jesus, Lord, we're just...
Not right in.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
caller, you're on the air with Keith Johnson and Seppi RVP. Go ahead and introduce yourself, where you're from, and ask your question. You there, caller?
No.
Oh, I guess they hung up.
Well, then good. I get to ask my question then.
All right, ask your question.
Well, I just wanted to know, is anyone one more person more vulnerable to another in dealing with possession or demon attacks? Meaning, like, if you're sensitive or because of your religion or because you believe or not believe. Like with me, I've been told I am a sensitive medium, and I've been told that I'm at higher risk than somebody else. Is that true?
Well, yes. When you, in fact, somebody who is sensitive like yourself, they have to take particular precautions. They have to be very, very grounded and very firm in their faith and their beliefs and their protection, because when you go in there, you'll not only perceive these spirits, they'll perceive you, they'll know that they're being perceived, and you will become, you'll be targeted for psychic attack, usually right away. They'll seek out anybody who's sensitive who can perceive them. They'll be the target of attack. Also, the person coming in, of course, doing the deliverance, or anybody on the demonology team, they'll be targeted as well, but mostly with a person that's very, very sensitive. They have to really work on protecting themselves, building up their protection, really, really being grounded before they go into a situation like that. And should really work with somebody who has had this kind of sensitivity and knows how to ground themselves and protect themselves. And also should have a prayer, a blessing, a prayer of protection set over them before they go in. That's why whenever we enter a situation like that, I always pray for everybody. I pray for everybody's protection, especially somebody who may be psychologically or spiritually sensitive and vulnerable.
Right. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, half of the teammates don't even know that I'm doing it, but I do put a protection circle, you know, bubble around all of them as well as myself. And
good.
I don't care if they like it or not, but guess what, team? I know half of them are listening. I do that. You know,
well, good for you. That's
mean, and theirs, because I, you know, I do know that since I am sensitive, I'm like a torch for things, so they can see me and they flock to me more than
right.
A normal person would.
Yeah, you're like a beacon. You can,
right, and I don't want to open something up for one of them who isn't to have something.
Right, and that's can be quite an advantage to have that ability, but as you know, it can also, you know, it can be quite dangerous, too.
It's a blessing in disguise. I think I think Eric and Jess are going to kick my butt if I bring
it
one.
It means she doesn't get breaks.
Right, no, and if I bring one more thing home, I think they're going to kick me out.
Nah. We'll deal with it.
So we got a lineup of questions here. Actually, there are I think five questions in standby for you. So we'll go through these. And
this is always a good sign of the most awesome guests is when people are backed up.
Yeah, we're backed up with questions.
Great compliment.
Okay.
The first one is from Tinder, the founder of Ghost Hunters of Oklahoma. Can spirits other than demons possess or inhabit the human body?
They're usually, when it's inhabiting the human body, it is of a demonic nature. There has been, of course, speculation whether human spirits can enter a person. It takes a lot. It really takes a lot, even for a demonic entity, to be able to enter a person. That person has to be in a state of really psychic vulnerability. I believe there have been other types of spirits that have been able to enter, but they usually, if they're not demonic, they're usually linked with the demonic. I find that, you know, other spirits other than demonics is extremely, extremely rare and very, very unusual for a spirit other than a demonic to enter a person, unless it's the Holy Spirit. Of course, I believe the Holy Spirit is able to, if somebody is receptive and willing to allow the Holy Spirit in, I believe the Holy Spirit does can enter a person, yes.
Okay.
And frequently does.
All right. Now, with your response on that, I'm going to actually skip over a couple questions over to one that did come up here. Jen would like to know
now she's
about
got a question.
other religious beliefs. She says, what right. then? Not everyone is Christian, so shouldn't you go about it according to your own religious beliefs?
Well, of course, it depends on what you feel comfortable with. Of course, I was, you know, my belief is firmly Christian. You know, Sandra and I were both firmly rooted in the Christian faith. But if somebody feels led to follow their faith, then they should do so wholeheartedly. The thing is that mainly you, in this field, you need to be grounded in your personal beliefs, in your personal faith, because if there's kind of a weak link in your belief, that will allow you to be very, very vulnerable. So if you have a belief, stick with it. For example, I knew somebody who was raised in religion Santeria, a young woman. She was getting into Buddhism. She suddenly started being attacked because apparently she'd been generationally promised. She was a generation holy person in her family's belief for generations. She was supposed to be the next in line. Uh-huh. Once she started experimenting with Buddhism, then she started being physically and psychologically attacked.
Wow. That would make sense.
Okay.
That's pretty
fantastic. Next question comes from Lady B. She says, people look to you for advice and guidance. Who do you turn to?
Good question.
When I was first starting out, my role model was Ed Warren, Ed and Lorraine Warren, mm-hmm. and they inspired me because I really did not know where to turn to that, you know, who else does this. I met Ed and Lorraine Warren. I met two people who actually went all over the world, not just doing paranormal investigation, but working with demonology as well. So I figured these are the kind of people that I would like to follow in their footsteps. I wish that, you know, it had been like time and circumstances had been available where I could have been with them more often. But unfortunately, I wasn't. A lot of times I was on my own and, of course, had to rely on faith and prayer. But I did read a lot of their literature, and they were the role models for me when I was first starting out.
All right.
Awesome. Cool deal. Okay.
Okay. Now, this comes from Selena. She'd like to know if you've had many cases where it has been a mental illness rather than a possession, and what do you do to determine the difference?
Right. That's a very, very good question. Yes, we have come across situations where it does seem to be predominantly mental illness. Now, of course, we can't diagnose or tell somebody we think you're mentally ill, but if we ourselves do not see any evidence
that there is paranormal involvement, that there is something other than psychological factors, what we have to do is recommend that, which we do anyway, because, I mean, dealing with the paranormal can be a very traumatic situation. We recommend that they seek counseling, that we don't tell them that there's that, you know, you're not haunted, there is no paranormal, but we say that you should receive some counseling just to rule things out. If anything else, nothing to rule things out. It's very, very difficult to rule that it's just paranormal and it, or it's just psychological or mental illness, because it's there could be both. There could be factors of both. For instance, with the Atlantic Paranormal Society, with TAPS, this is long before the TV show, and this is one of Brian Hanwha's first cases where I was training him, mentoring him in demonology. We had a young woman who had supposedly had a curse placed upon her. Now, her family had a history of schizophrenia, but our job was not to see if she was schizophrenic. Our job was simply to see if there was paranormal activity. We took it seriously, obviously, because a curse supposedly had been placed upon her. We tested her and tested her. We did not see any evidence of paranormal. So we recommended that she receive counseling, continue with counseling, and that's as far as we could go. Because if we saw no evidence, I mean, we can't go further than that and say we think you're schizophrenic or something like that. We simply give our findings and recommend that they, you know, seek other sources as well as the paranormal investigation or demonology.
All right. And this is going to lead into another question that's been asked. This comes from Ceiling Cat. She's wondering, are drug addicts more susceptible to possession or oppression?
Yes.
In certain circumstances, now that's very generally speaking, but in certain circumstances, again, there are spirits that will take advantage. If somebody has a weakness or a dependency, they will exacerbate that. They will get in on it and kind of tempt them, because usually the demonic is limited to temptation and pressing your buttons, pressing your weak points. Actual possession is very rare. Even oppression to that stage is very rare. But if somebody does have kind of a drug dependency, in a way, that does leave them more vulnerable. That doesn't mean if somebody has a drug dependency that they're going to automatically fall under demon oppression, because usually that's not the case. But there are certain circumstances where if they do have a dependency on alcoholism or other drugs, that the demonic will kind of push their buttons and kind of interfere.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I would say that's the exception rather than the rule, though.
Right. Coming from being a recovering alcoholic, it felt like there for a while that I was possessed by something, you know, because you're not in your right. It's the disease, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have one
last question.
Because we have, what is this?
Okay. We got two questions. I'll let you pick from them. The first one is from an anonymous guest or anonymous chat person. He says, has Keith ever been on a case where they reported feces on the ceiling, as in human feces? They have a case like this that's been very strange, and when you walk into, it's almost like you feel a veil over the house. Have you encountered a lot of demonics? He's encountered a lot of demonics in his time, so... he's just kind of curious about that. Mm-hmm. And then the go ahead.
Go ahead.
And the second one was, do you know what Scientology's views are towards like demonic possessions and stuff?
Spit it out, Junior. Porky?
Jesus. and those will be our last questions, so we can go ahead and wrap up with you.
Okay. The first question, we have gone into houses where the house, even just stepping foot on the property, the house does seem to have a veil on it, veil over it of oppression, and that's usually when something's been going on for a long, long time, and it's gotten to that point where it's
almost impenetrable. And it's like feces appearing, things like that. That's kind of like an apport. That's something that would be transported, bodily fluids or bodily waste. That would be called an apport. And the demonic do that sometimes. I haven't encountered that, but I have encountered disgusting odors and disgusting smells. The but yeah, sometimes it's very, very heavy, where it's just it'll probably take a whole team to dispel that. And some people recommend that somebody just move out and don't deal with it. I don't recommend that. I don't think most cases are hopeless. But it would take quite of a strong prayer team to be able to deal with that through faith. I believe it can be done. As far as Scientology, I'm really not that familiar with what their views on as far as the demonic. I think it would be more that they would approach it more like a psychological positive thinking aspect rather than believing in separate demonic entities themselves. But I really, you know, I really am not that familiar on it to say definitely one way or the other. I'd like to know. I'd like to find out.
All right. Well, we wanted to let you speak about a couple of things that are going on with you. You are going to be part of two conventions.
Yes.
Tell me now.
Yes, we... Yeah, we do have some conventions coming up. We're going to participate in Souls Fest. That's in Beaumont, Texas. That's going on October 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's coming up, Souls Fest in Texas. And then we have Extreme Paranormal Conference, and that's going on in Cincinnati, Ohio. That will be taking place October 16th. 17th and 18th. So those two things are coming up. Those conventions are coming up for us. Plus, as mentioned, we do have our weekly TV show, Ghosts Are Near.
We were scared. Right. We were going to take care of that. Just was going to ask.
Right. Yep. And, as far as Ghosts Are Near goes, that's a TV talk show hosted by Sandra and myself. And my brother Carl is an alternate co-host. And recently we had a show, a recent show, where actually Brian Hanwha, our friend Brian, stepped in as the host, and it was Sandra as a co-host. So they co-hosted together, and they interviewed me for Paranormal Realities. So they could be able to ask me questions about it. So that went very well. I like that show. That went very well. Our shows are actually archived onto our site, nearparanormal.com. So if anybody wants to see any of the episodes, just go to our site, nearparanormal.com. Go to the archive section, click on that, and you'll see all 56 shows we have so far archived and ready for viewing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and I hope if you guys are ever by our way, that you will be, you'll stop in and be guests on our show when we're taping.
We would love to.
We would be honored, beyond honored.
Yes.
Well, you certainly do have an invitation.
Well, right. Thank you. We'll have to get back to you on that and set something up.
Sure. Of course, and we do show footage from investigations and conventions as well. So, hey, if we'll ever in your area, we'll certainly stop by and interview you.
All right. Definitely. Well, I have to say I'm very honored that you came on the show with us tonight and everything. And
I've been waiting for a couple
we've
weeks.
Been like,
yeah,
hey.
we've been
giddy all week and stuff, and back and forth through the emails and stuff, and it was just like we're sitting here a nervous wreck in the beginning. We're like, oh my goodness. But I like I said, I can't thank you enough. And that's at least coming from me. I know the girls are...
Oh, yeah.
They have their words to say.
We were like high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's just such a fascinating subject. And, you know, Jess and I had numerous amounts of questions. And, you know, we had tons of conversations as well leading up to all the things that had happened here at the house towards us. And after that happened, I think it changed our views on a lot of things. And, in the paranormal world, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So,
we had been anticipating this show. It was just too bad that we couldn't have we didn't have contact with you while we were going through everything.
Yeah.
So it's certainly been a pleasure talking with you. You wonderful, wonderful people, and it's really been my pleasure to be on this show.
So why don't you give out your contacts and how people can get a hold of you, email, websites?
Right. Well, sure. I am very, very accessible. Our website is Near Paranormal, N-E-A-R, paranormal.com. And our email is ghostsarenear@cox.net. That's ghostsarenear@cox.net. And go to our website. We're very, very available. Just do an internet search, and you'll be able to contact us. Keith and Sandra Johnson.
Eric's all busy right. Plugging them in.
Yeah,
the
room. I'm plugging them out there so everybody can get to that and look at it and go ahead and get away. And everybody, go out there and buy this book, yeah, Paranormal Realities by Keith Johnson. Where is the book available to be bought at? Is it like Amazon and other bookstores and stuff?
Yes, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Borders Books. Also, you can order it right from our site. If you order it from our site, you get a personalized autographed copy. So,
ooh, shazam!
There you go.
You hear that, everybody. Go to www.nearparanormal.com, order his book, Paranormal Realities, and he'll sign it for you. And like I said, if you don't order it through there, if you order it through Amazon, make sure you leave a great review for it. It's fantastic information. It's a wealth of information that you're going to love. So,
yes.
But you guys, like I said, we're not going to take a break yet.
Okay.
We'll do it here in a second. But okay. You guys, once again, I can't say thank you enough, and we'll be in touch with you soon.
Okay, thank you so much, and we always appreciate reviews. Yes, we do.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been quite a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you take care, and God bless.
Thanks, yeah. You too.
You too.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a break here in just a minute, but a couple quick things to let you know what's coming up.
Amy's going to pee herself.
I know.
We'll go pee. She's been sitting here for like 15 minutes. I have to pee.
We'll have some information about Phantasm to throw out there for you, plus some upcoming stuff that's coming up in the lives of Sepia RVP Radio and Sepia. And I lost my train of thought. I think I have to pee now.
Amy goes first.
So, yeah, and we have the Paranormal News with Eric Schultz coming up. So we'll take about a five-minute break. And whenever you're ready, Frank, you can lead us into that break. And we'll be back with you guys in a moment.
Number X.
pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I die before I wake.
If I die before I wake.
Pray the Lord my soul to take.
Pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. And never mind that noise you heard. It's just the beast under your bed.
Now back to Sepia RVP Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Eric Dion, with Sepia RVP Radio. As always, I have Dr. Jess with me and Amy the Paraminx.
Every time I hear him say Dr. Jess, I'm like, that just cracks me up.
What this town needs is an enema.
Smack. Jess needs her rubber gloves.
All right, real quick, I want to go through and thank everybody that's out there in the chat room. Lady V, Jamie, a pair of Vision Ceiling Cat, the man who talks with to angels, Ron. We love you, Ron.
Awesome.
Christopher, Steph, Kyle with LPSNC, Jason from Grasp, Selena, Jen, Boogie, Manchaser, Tenor, Mass Paranormal,
Tom, Jennifer.
Dead Scott, Nathan, Sepia's Demonologist, Suntop, Dr. Ghoul, and Behold. And I want to go ahead and thank you guys for listening out there in the chat room. Welcome to all the new people of Para X. We've had a lot of new people join Para X tonight, which is fantastic. It's always good to see new people out there in
the chat room.
You'll love it. We're one big family here. If you have any questions, feel free to ask anybody in the chat room. If they don't know the answer, they'll send it your way. So that way you guys all know. All
right.
So a couple quick things. Let's see. Let's touch on Phantasm first.
We've got... Oh,
we're going. Oh, you want to go and do... Go ahead. We'll go right into it. Go.
Well,
yeah. I was just...
My poor brother is like getting out of line.
Take your time. Do what you got to do.
No, actually, we'll go ahead and go and go right into the paranormal news with Eric Schultes.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything to do.
Good evening. I am Eric Schultes with Paranormal News and Sports Update. Sounds like you guys are pretty busy, so I'll try and keep this kind of short. How is everyone tonight?
We're
fantastic. I got a pee.
This is the most I've ever heard you talk, Eric.
I think I'm coming out from behind the curtains.
Getting the hang of this radio stuff, huh?
I'm not behind everybody.
Exactly. When you're behind the scenes, it's a little different. When you get on the mic, it gets a little crazy for a while. But then once you get the hang of it, it's all right.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right. Well, let's start this off real quick. So you guys seem like you got some stuff to tackle. So we're going to start in Hollywood again this week. Seems like every week there's coming out with some new movies. This Friday, August 28th, which happens to be mine and Amy's mom's birthday. Nope. She would have been 65 years old this year.
Wow.
Anyway, two movies are being released, both of our sequels. The first one, and I hope it is the last of its franchise, is The Final Destination.
Oh, God. And I hope it's The Final Destination.
Yes,
please.
Yeah, that's what I'm screaming. I hope it's the last. It's the fourth of the series. It seems like it's going to be just like the rest. This time, the main character's name is Nick O'Bannon. Him and his friends go to a racetrack to see, like, a NASCAR race or something. He gets the vision halfway, you know, somewhere through the race, of a crash and all his friends dying. So you can only imagine what happens next. The second movie... this happened to be our mother's favorite franchise, and it's also a sequel of a remake. Did you guys get all that? I hope so, because it's Halloween 2.
Yes.
The second installment in Rob Zombie's remake of the late 70s horror flicks. The movie picks up where the first movie stopped, exactly where it stopped, and continues following Michael Myers on his murderous rampage. I think it's going to be a great movie. I've seen a couple trailers of it. And if it's anything like the first one was pretty damn good, so this one should be all right, too.
Giving me goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes out on Mom's birthday, which is pretty cool because it's one of her favorite movies.
Thanks for, like, making me, like, want to cry now.
Oh, shut up. It's all right. All right. Also, we've been talking, if you guys have been listening to my last couple news segments last couple weeks, I've been talking a lot about the Twilight movie and the Wolfman movie that's coming out. Well, if you go to Yahoo.com, the movies section, they have two brand new trailers in there. The one of Twilight, which is about 2 minutes long, and it shows it's pretty sweet. The some of the graphics they got in there. Anyway, that movie comes out during Thanksgiving, and then Wolfman, starring Benicio del Toro as the Wolfman, hits theaters February 12th. And both these trailers look pretty sweet because it shows like the transformation of him going from the human to the wolf, and it looks pretty damn cool. Also in Hollywood, every Hollywood star seems to have their ups and downs. Well, Jennifer Aniston is no exception. She's had a great success on the screen, but her love life has been a train wreck. And sources say that the 40-year-old has best known for her role as Rachel Green on Friends, of course, and married to Brad Pitt. She's been seen a psychic about her love life. Aniston has told friends she's seeing a world-renowned love psychic. She won't tell who it is. He's based out of New York and said that she also has a soft spot for paranormal, seeing the stars and everything. And she believes that her love life is in the stars and wants guidance in her search. Paranormal personality Michael Cohen commented on it, saying that psychics can give you a path to follow, but it's up to you to work on your outcome. But I thought it was pretty cool that she's really into paranormal and all that stuff, and she doesn't seem like she would be, but I guess...
you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
Well, Bruce and Andrea Leninger didn't think they did until just recently. Their 11-year-old son, James, He's been having on and off dreams since he was 2 years old. It's a recurring dream, very vivid, of an Air Force pilot being shot down over Iwo Jima. In the beginning, they didn't know where it was. He just would wake up screaming that the plane was going down, but the plane's going down. He's 2 years old. They were like, what the heck is going on? So finally, the dreams got more vivid, and he showed the dad, Bruce, showed James, the son, some pictures of stuff like, you know, World War II and Pearl Harbor, but Iwo Jima, and he pointed to exact spots that, like, this is the ship that the man was on. Well, anyway, the images of this are of 21-year-old James Hudson Jr. He was the only pilot shot down over Iwo Jima at the time of this boy's dreams. And relatives of Hudson say the boy's memories of what happened to their father and their uncle is exactly how the military described it going down. So they're thinking that this kid is actually a reincarnation of the 21-year-old James Hudson Jr. who was shot down 50 years ago. I thought it was a pretty neat little story. I'm not a real big believer in reincarnation, but if I was and my kid was talking about this, I think I'd be a little freaked out.
I've tried getting her to talk about it, but yeah, I didn't want to tell you that. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Morgan?
Yeah.
Talking about Morgan?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Also, Shapeshifters, they've been getting a lot of pub with the True Blood series, having a few of them, and Twilight's got a few of them. Well, this comes to us from Central Arkansas, where a group of middle-aged ghost hunters were out doing an investigation late before dusk. Everyone wants to know, because of the story, that if they were drinkers, if they're on drugs, because I guess some of them are missing so far fetched that they don't really believe it. Anyway, they were walking down the trail. The point man heard a loud noise, like a whoosh, like a big bird flying by him. He looked up, and there was a giant something flying after him. He ducked out of the way. The other two people that were behind him saw this thing. It landed in the tree, and it wrapped itself around the tree, like almost like a snake or a worm, they're saying, which is birds don't do that. So they were like, what the hell is it? They didn't know. It was like a mini dragon. So they had no clue what it was, but it freaked these guys out. They said they'll never go in this part of the woods again because of the thing. And they said they've been on hundreds of investigations, ghost hunting, and never been scared before. And this thing just freaked them all out. They were saying it's either a shapeshifter or a thunderbird or a demon. They're not really sure, but they just said they hope they never see it again. But I figured that I never a shapeshifter. That's when they turn into animals, right?
Yes.
Just can it be any animal?
Any animal.
So
yep. All right. According to at least like, you know, if you go off of like what we've seen in like True Blood, you know, like right. Sam, he can focus in on any animal and turn himself into it, regardless.
Oh, really?
If it be a fly down to a dog, you know, pretty much anything. So.
That's pretty crazy. And the story started off like they were talking about shit. I thought it was going to be some big dog chasing the guy, but it would end up being some kind of bird animal, like a worm. But it flew, and everyone, there was three of the five investigators that were out there seeing it. They said they're never going to those woods again. So anyway, that's all I got for paranormal news. I got a couple things in sports, and then I'll let you guys get back to what you got to. Football, it's here, man. The NFL preseason. Brett Favre made his long-awaited return, and he looked like crap.
Good.
He'd only been in camp for a couple days, but he went 1-for-4 for 4 yards. The guy that he's coming in to replace him, Tavares Jackson, he led the team for 2 touchdowns, 220 yards, and they beat the Chiefs 17-13. The Vikings coach said that Favre will play at least a half in the next game. So maybe we'll see a little bit more of...
Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
Favre.
At least he's not a profile like that Steelers player.
Whatever. He didn't even play the other day, and freaking Steelers...
Well, hold on. I got something.
Shut up, man.
Anyway, the Lions, well, they look like the Lions.
Yep.
They got hammered by the Browns. 27-10. It was just like, you know, people on the radio up here in Detroit are just acting like this is going to be, you know, they're going to win 11 games. I'm like, they are still the Detroit Lions. They lost 16 games last year. If they win four, maybe five games, I'm giving them five games. That's what I'm putting the cap at. If they go more than five, I'll be happy, but I don't think they're going to.
No.
Who's this? Wait, didn't you call for the Lions to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of?
That was all in humor.
Oh, yeah.
I still know who they are. They're still owned by the Ford. They're still a horrible team. Anyway, your boys fell hard to Miami down in Carolina 27-17. You're Carolina guys.
I cannot stay in Carolina. Let's get that straight.
Oh, you don't? Okay,
Patriots fan.
Oh, you're a Patriots fan. I'm a AFC team, and I'm a Pats fan also. So, the defending champion Pittsburgh Steelers, they lost their quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, of course, who sprained ankle, and they lost the game of the Redskins 17-13. Speaking of Ben Roethlisberger, we talked about a couple weeks ago about him getting accused of sexual assault in Lake Tahoe. Well, his accuser is in Nevada, of course. She is being held for psychiatric evaluations. Evidently, the woman is a sex addict and is a compulsive liar, so they're just looking into see what the hell's wrong with her, because I guess she's done this before to other men, and Roethlisberger's not denying that he had sex with the woman, but he's maintaining that it was all consensual, and this is backed up by several other employees at the Harrah's Casino, where this girl worked as she's suing Roethlisberger and 8 employees for. They're saying that they're covering up the attack that took place, which really didn't take place. So it's been a pretty crazy couple weeks for Ben Roethlisberger. He gets accused of rape, then he sprained his ankle. So he'll be ready for the regular season.
I hope so. That poor guy can't refrain from not hurting himself. He's like me.
Yeah, he gets hurt every year, though, man. That's how. If you're in there mixing it up like this guy does, you're gonna get hurt. But whatever, he'll be all right. Just a few real quick stories, and I'll wrap this up. Former New York Giants wide receiver Plaxico Burress will begin serving his 2-year sentence on weapons charges later this week. And Michael Vick is going to make his long-awaited debut in Philadelphia. This is going to be his first action in over 2 years. They're saying he's going to start against. I can't remember who they're playing, but he's going to start, and he's probably going to play at least a half. And he'll be able to play these next two preseason games. And he's going to have to sit out at least 6 weeks and see if Roger Goodell reinstates him. And if he does reinstate him, who knows what will happen.
Right.
Also, that does it for the Paranormal Sports Report. This week I got a pretty cool curse. I don't think I got any more sports ones. There might be a few of them hiding in there. But last week I brought you the Poltergeist curse, of course. Mm-hmm. This week's curse comes to us from Washington, D.C., by the way of Massachusetts. It is the Kennedy curse. The Kennedys, of course, are the famous political family from Massachusetts. And their curse is said to be because their father, Joseph Kennedy, he was a bootlegger back in the Prohibition era and used to run liquor for the mob. And it was said that he, after, he tried getting political aspirations, he couldn't do anything because he was a convicted felon. But he tried, they say he made a deal with the devil to make his, get his sons into Washington. And because of this deal, evidently something happened. There's some kind of a curse going on because in 1948, JFK's brother, his oldest brother, Joseph Jr., and sister, Kathleen, both died in separate plane crashes in 1944 and 1948. JFK's other sister, Rosemary, has been institutionalized in the mental hospital since about that time and has never been let out. John F. Kennedy Jr. himself, of course, the 35th President of the United States, was assassinated in 1963. His brother, Robert Kennedy, JFK's younger brother, was assassinated in 1968, 5 years later. Ted Kennedy, JFK's youngest brother, survived a plane crash in 1964. And, of course, in 1969, there's the whole Chappaquiddick thing where he drove off the dock, and Mary Jo Kopensky died in this car crash, and he didn't tell the authorities till like hours later after he was already home and in bed. His presidential goals were pretty much squashed after that, and since then now he's got cancer and he's not doing too well. 1984, Robert Kennedy's son David died of a drug overdose, and his other son Michael died in a skiing accident in 1997. Then, of course, in 1999, JFK Jr., his wife and sister-in-law died in a small plane crash outside of somewhere like a Martha's Vineyard, I think they're flying into.
Yep.
So, it doesn't say that there's a curse. I think you guys should stay off airplanes, that's for damn sure.
No doubt.
So that does it for the paranormal news, sports report, and the curses and superstitions segment. That wraps up my time here tonight. And get me some, if you guys please, find me some new stuff out there on the internet. Sepia RVP News at sepianc.com. Send me some curses and stuff. I'm running out of them. I got a couple more in the next couple weeks, and then I'm going to start to have to make stuff up, guys. So, I wanted to try and maybe run this by you, and I figure while it's on air, if you guys maybe type it in the talk to people and see if we can get some like this day or this week in paranormal history. You know, so
okay.
Maybe a little segment I can do where I can pop up something. If I start running out of curses, I want to do that. So if anyone has any websites that I can go to find this out, feel free to email me at the email address or email Amy or Eric or Jeff and give us some info.
Right on.
Well, that's all I got, guys.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
No problem. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
All right, now, Eric. Itching to tell us.
Okay. The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. I don't want the floor on.
Well, you... Oh, nice. He's all sad because he's like...
Is he's being dominated?
About to be...
I'm not being dominated by anybody, and I'm not getting zapped tonight. get away! You're killing me here. Oh.
Anyway.
All right. So let's start with Phantasm first. We'll go in order of precedence here.
Good news, bad news.
Good news, bad news. We've had to postpone Phantasm for the time being. Can't really go into details, but it's not overly a bad thing, not overly a good thing. So it's just in the middle.
Clearly, it wasn't the right time of year.
It's not here. It's not there.
Let's just say it came into competition with
Scarefest.
And a lot of...
That's part of the reason.
Yeah, well,
I don't want everybody thinking that that's the only reason.
Right.
No, it's not the only reason.
There's no reason. It's one of those things.
That way we can get everybody together.
Just so you know, Dr. Ghoul, Phantasm was our event that we had planned this September, where we were going to have Gavin Cromwell and as our featured guest and some other stuff. So we're postponing that for the time being. We will have some more information come out later on with that. So just so you know, that's the first little bit of stuff. In place of that, though, if anybody wants to head down this way, we're going to throw a big paranormal party at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a couple people are coming up from Georgia for it and.
Down
from Massachusetts for it. So we're going to have a paranormal party. And for those who are in attendance, I'm going to take a taser to the chest.
Now, you're hearing that, Jason, right?
So I'm going to take a taser. And we're going to videotape it.
And we still want to do the Monster Amp taste test thing as well. We are going to have that set up.
Personal invite to everybody out there. You guys want to come, get a hold of us, give you our address. Shoot, we're putting it out there.
So, and then we're going to have, the Monster Amp versus Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're still going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
The winner of that will be, of course, Monster. But just so you know, Amp with Jason and Alex and Chris, when they lose, they have to dress and drag and go down to Wilmington. Downtown, and we're going to take them to a club, and it's going to be a great club for them dressed in drag. So, just letting you guys know on that. Next bit of information, I'm getting ready to post the link here in the chat room. This is for the Paranormal Investigators Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is in November. I think it's the 6th, 7th, and 8th,
mm-hmm.
And Sepia RVP are guest speakers at this
Woo-hoo!
Event. So, you guys look forward to it. We hope you can get your tickets. You know what? If that would have zapped me, I would have beat your tail. So yeah, check that link out that I posted in the chat room. Look at the guest speakers. You'll see Sepia RVP Radio as a guest speaker at this event. Other guests that are going to be there is going to be Steve Gonzalez from Ghost Hunters, Dave Tango,
Keith H.
Patrick Burns, Ghostology.
Dave and Tom
from Parallax. Mom, Melissa, and Nathan are going to be there. It's going to be a great
psychic
time. Yeah, yep. Psychic Tiff Johnson, she's going to be there. So we're all going to have a great time at this event. And like I said, SEPIA-RVP will be speaking there. Also, a treat for all you fans of the Girls of SEPIA.
The monster.
Yeah. we are going to be bringing the Girls of SEPIA up. Now, for those of you that don't know, yeah, all the Girls of SEPIA are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to have their calendar out, which comes out this October for 2010, and they'll be signing those. And the deal with the Girls of SEPIA is I'm the only guy in SEPIA, basically, and everybody else is girls. And they're very good-looking girls. And everybody wonders how that works out. I still haven't figured that out yet. I wish I would have figured this out when I was in high school. the Girls of SEPIA will be there. You can go to our MySpace pages and stuff and see some of the photo shoot pictures and stuff.
We have another photo shoot coming up.
We have another photo shoot coming up to get some more pictures.
Secret.
And, we're going to keep this last photo shoot secret from everybody, so you'll have to get the calendar to see the extra pictures. But you can also go to our website, www.sepianc.com. That's
www.sepianc.com.
All right, and then you go on there. There's two links also on that page for the MySpace for SEPIA and the MySpace for SEPIA RVP. You can also go there and get the link to the SEPIA RVP radio show where you can listen to all our past shows. You can listen to our videos.
And you can catch the little clip, I do believe, of Eric getting zapped last week.
Yeah, me getting zapped with 1,500 volts. All right, fantastic. The MySpace link, let's see,
www.sepianc.com/sepianc.
It's all
sepianc.
Sepia RVP.
Well, yes. Isn't that true? Dr. Ghoul is a friend on Facebook. Well, I don't... Okay, cool, Dr. Ghoul. I don't know you yet.
Yeah, but thank you.
I know your name.
Also, let's see what else is going on. SEPIA 2010 of November next year. SEPIA is also going to be guest at the first ever paranormal convention in Australia. So we'll be heading over the Big Fawn and going to Australia to be guests at that convention. And so save your money now if you want to go there. That's going to be a great event. Everybody's going to be there. So we're looking forward to that. Let's see what else. We're working currently on a filming project for PTN.
Yeah.
And we're working on a filming project for Ghostology TV. So... look forward to that stuff. It's coming into the near future. And go ahead and let you know, next week's guest, we're going to have Rob Thompson on. He's the author of a book called From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
The book doesn't come out until September. We actually have, Jess is grabbing a copy of it now, we actually have 3 copies of this book to go ahead and give away. And so next week's show from 10 to midnight, we'll have Rob Thompson on the show. That's a copy of the book right there, From Hell, The Final Days of Jack the Ripper. And we have 3 copies next week of that to give away. So
autographs.
And they're all autographed. He's already autographed them for us. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. And like I said, you won't be able to get this book until in probably mid-September, I think. So... we already have 3 copies, so you'll get it before it comes out in source. And like I said, they're already autographed and personalized for you. And am I missing on anything?
No, I think we covered.
Oh, my goodness.
We had one hell of a show.
Yeah, yes, fantastic show tonight.
Thank you, everybody.
Bring up some future
future events. Also, oh, yeah, I did forget something. Here in 2 weeks, is it? Seppy RVP will actually be over at Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll actually be working security for Dragon Con.
Yeah, that's terrible. Look at these guns, all 130 pounds of me.
So we'll be working Dragon Con this year. And so if you see us there or if you're heading to Dragon Con, shoot us an email. We'll go ahead and we can arrange. We'll all meet up, hang out, do something. Beat you. You're going to need a doctor. So we'll be at Dragon Con this year in a couple of weeks and doing that.
I get to see a stormtrooper. I'm so going to start a battle between a stormtrooper and Pokemon so I can watch Pokemon get its ass beat by a stormtrooper. Sorry. But with my luck, like Eric said, I'll probably be stuck on security detail for the Trekkies and want to blow my brains out because I freaking can't stand it. Sorry for all those Trekkie fans out there, but no offense. And I'm going to hump a zombie, I think.
And also at Dragon Con this year, they're attempting to beat the world, Guinness World Book of Records, for the most people dancing at the same time to Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, and I was so beat.
So that's going to be great. So we're looking forward to that. Then we have a couple of events that we've open invitations so far to for next year that we've got to line up. But as soon as we get more details on that, we'll go ahead and get back with you. Couple more of our, I can just say that come September, we're going to have a great lineup, and then we're going to have an even greater lineup in October. I know in September we're going to have Amy.
Yeah.
Amy, I can't remember her last name.
Amy Williamson.
We're gonna have Amy Williamson.
Yeah, she's from Michigan.
With Paranormal's Women Scream Radio.
Yeah.
She'll be on in September. We're also looking at having Ron Reeder, the man that talks with angels. We're looking at having him on in September. So it's going to be great. And then October, the only guest I'm gonna let you know right now. At the moment, is we will have Christian Day on the show in October, especially with this Festival of the Dead that's going on and everything else. That's going to be great. And then we have plenty more giveaways coming up throughout the next couple of months. I have tons of people asking to come on the show and give away some books and everything. I had a UFO expert contact me, and he just came out with a book, so... just gonna let you go. No, all right. But you know what? I'm gonna beat you, Jason. I'm going to beat you. But we have about a minute left till the show ends, so I'm gonna go ahead and say goodnight to everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for showing the support. All the new people that came to Parex tonight.
Young Rock.
Fantastic. Love seeing you here. Love seeing Parex grow.
Bring your friends.
Bring your friends. Tell them everything.
And what's up, Eric? It's not a tabby cat, CC. It's actually an Egyptian mom.
So, we air Monday night from 10 to midnight on exclusively on Parex. And we'll always be here to help you guys. So
good night. And we love you. And... logical question. There isn't such thing as a logical
question. What's your logical question? Bobby Man Chaser. We'll try to get it in the next 40 seconds.
There is no logic in our show.
Really quick.
We don't have logic. There's no logic. There's no logic in baseball or paranormal.
What?
I don't flipping know.
That's not logical.
I say peace out, homies.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.